I recently downsized. And let me tell you, scaling back my kitchen of 30 years was a painful process, but ultimately an exercise in common sense. My good knives made the cut, my big colander, my 40-year-old wok, which I bought when I was 10, and my cast iron pans. Now, as great as they are, there are a lot of questionable myths about cast iron cookware. Well, to separate fact from fiction, our contributor Noelle Carter went to J. Kenji Lopez Alt, Managing Culinary Director of Serious Eats and author of the Food Lab column.
Kenji, I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
So, cast iron, it's popular, and while it has a lot of fans in the food world, it can be mysterious and, well, intimidating. One of the biggest things I hear about cast iron is that it's difficult to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, that is a myth you hear often. The issue that comes up with it is maintaining the seasoning, which is, the layer of polymers that form when you heat oil in it. And that's what gives the cast iron pan its sort of nonstick properties and what makes it such a good surface for cooking on. But even that layer of seasoning is way, way easier to both form and to maintain than a lot of people make it out to be.
You know, cast iron has this reputation for heating well and evenly and for being a great conductor of heat. But that's not true.
Yeah, no, that's actually one of the big myths about it. So the way you measure how evenly something heats is by its thermal conductance. And cast iron has actually, out of the materials that we cook with, it's very, very low thermal conductance. So that means when you place it over a burner, it's going to get hot spots and cool spots very quickly because heat doesn't travel from one area of it to another very efficiently. So, you know, the good thing about cast iron is that it's so dense and so heavy that it's able to retain a lot of heat energy, which means that when you put something in it, like a steak, the pan's not going to cool down very fast, and it's going to give you that nice sear. But in order to get the entire pan heated evenly, you have to heat it over a relatively long period of time, and you have to make sure you rotate it on the stovetop, or better yet, you heat it in the oven so that you get a really nice even heat on it.
You know, one of the things that I hear a lot is, there's this difference between old cast iron and new cast iron. You know, the pans that you may have inherited from your grandmother or you find them at a flea market. And then there are the pans that you can find nowadays pre-seasoned at the store. Is there any difference between new and old cast iron?
There actually is. You know, new cast iron will work just fine. But if you take a new cast iron pan and an older cast iron pan and compare them side by side, the first thing you're going to notice is that new cast iron pan has a kind of pebbly surface to it. And that's because cast iron is cast in molds made out of sand. And so once they come out of those molds, they still have that sort of sandy texture. In the old days, they used to take those pans and then subsequently polish them so that the surface would end up being completely smooth and flat. Modern pans, they skip that step, I think mostly as a cost-saving maneuver. And you'll find, performance-wise, modern cast iron will work just fine, but it never gets quite as nonstick, quite as well-seasoned as older cast iron pans do, and that's just because of the texture of that surface.
Okay. Can I cook acidic foods in cast iron? Can I make a tomato sauce in my cast iron pan?
Yeah, this is another one of the big ones. The general idea is that acidic foods will both take on flavors of the iron and they'll also wreck your seasoning so that you'll have to start seasoning your pan over again. But this is actually not really the case. You know, the seasoning is actually pretty tough. It's a polymer. It's like basically related to plastic that ends up filling in the little gaps and the holes in the bottom of your pan, giving you a smooth surface. And that polymer, as long as you formed it properly, that polymer is quite hard. So cooking acidic foods in it will not really strip that, at least given, reasonable cooking times. I wouldn't recommend cast iron as a pan to cook like a 6-hour long tomato sauce and something like that. But if you're going to sear a steak or a chicken breast and then you want to make a quick pan sauce, you can do that just fine. I cook with wine. I cook with tomatoes in it all the time. And my pans come out the other end perfectly seasoned.
Great. When it comes to seasoning, people seem to have religious convictions about what fat they use. Some people prefer mm-hmm. bacon fat, some people prefer lard, oil, and I've read a lot recently about flax oil.
Right. I've read there's, I think, one famous article online about using flax oil. And, flax oil, my experience with it is that it does build up seasoning faster, but it also kind of builds a more brittle seasoning that's more likely to come out of the pan. I honestly would say that there is not really any best fat and that the best way to season is actually just to cook in it repeatedly. So whatever fat you're going to use to cook in, that should be the fat that you're seasoning it in, just because it means that you're more likely to do it. So, I keep canola oil and olive oil on my countertop. And so those are the fats I cook with most. So every time I use my cast iron pan, as soon as I'm done with it, I just give it a quick wipe out, and you can clean it in the sink. You know, I put soap on mine. You know, soap will get rid of oil, but it won't break down that seasoning. Rinse it, put it back on the stovetop. You know, you don't want it to sit wet because that'll cause it to rust. So, you know, once you're done cleaning it, you just throw it back on a burner. Let that excess moisture cook out until the pan is a little bit hot, and then just rub a thin layer of oil into there with a paper towel. But, you know, I think one of the reasons cast iron is so intimidating to people is because of this seasoning step. And once you just make it part of your sort of daily routine, it's an easy 10-second step to do at the end of every cooking session.
Excellent. Now, let's say I'm at a garage sale and I run across a really good-looking cast iron pan. Is there anything I should look for before I buy it?
Mm-hmm. Well, vintage pans can be, you know, 100 years old, and they've been stored in many different ways. So, you know, if you can find a pan that is polished and smooth and shiny and, you know, has that nice kind of satiny luster to it that, you know, obviously somebody has already taken the time to clean it and season it for you, then you're really lucky. And most likely they're going to charge you a lot of money for that because the type of people who do that know what they're dealing with. If, on the other hand, you know, you find a pan that has some kind of tarnishing or rust, often those pans are still quite good. What you really want to look for is any kind of pitting or warping in the metal, because older cast iron was a little bit thinner than modern cast iron, and with repeated use, they could get warps. They would sag in the bottom or bulge out, sometimes even crack. Wow. And, you know, if they were stored improperly for a very long period of time, then they'll get some kind of pitting. And you'll see that, you know, as little holes, little dimples in the metal. So if it has either of those defects, then you want to pass on it. But if it's just a surface discoloration, rust, or maybe uneven seasoning that's chipping off, then those types of pans you can actually restore yourself if you're willing to put a little bit of work into it.
Excellent. Now, what I really want to know is, do you have any favorite dishes you like to cook in cast iron?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, cast iron is a super versatile thing. It's great for meat. If I'm cooking indoors, I can't think of a better way to cook a steak because, you know, it can retain such a high amount of heat energy that, you know, you place a steak in there, you get a better sear than you get out of anything, pretty much. I roast whole chickens in it. It's great because it can go straight from the stovetop to the oven. I make bread and pizza in mine.
Pizza?
You know, one recipe
wow.
I have that I really enjoy. It's a no-knead pizza that you basically mix together the dough and then just dump it into the cast iron pan that has a little bit of olive oil in it. And then you just let the dough kind of sit there and it fills out the pan to the edges and rises a little bit. Then you just top it and throw it in the oven and it comes out, you know, like a deep dish pan pizza with like really sort of crispy, almost like fried in olive oil focaccia type edges. So yeah, like baking pizza, baking focaccia, baking, you know, like pull-apart rolls, things like that, cornbread. You know, anything that you really want to get like a nice crust on. You know, if you're looking for brown and crispy, then the cast iron pan's a great way to get there.
It can't be beat.
Yeah.
Kenji, I want to thank you so much for chatting with me today. This is just fascinating, and now I'm hungry.
Thanks for having me.
J. Kenji Lopez-Alt is Managing Culinary Director of Serious Eats. Noelle Carter is the Los Angeles Times Test Kitchen Director and writes the Culinary SOS column. J. Kenji left us with a recipe for that foolproof pan pizza, and you can find it at splendidtable.org.